All right, so we are going to discuss the topic of non-guaranteed ribis. Now, the truth of the matter is that it's a broader topic than we're going to get to in this hour, meaning there are certain cases that bleed into non-guaranteed ribis that we're not going to get to within here. Either I'll start on it and just mention, or we'll come up next week when we talk about God willing. But fundamentally, the biblical prohibition against ribis is ribis ketzutza, where you establish from the get-go that the borrower is obligating himself to pay back not only the keren, the core amount of the loan, but also an added percentage. Whether it's done percentage-wise or whether it's done by a sum, there's an amount, and it's a given, and it's set from the start. However, there are potential cases in which the ribis eventuality is not guaranteed. And so our question is going to be, as we see a machlokas in the Gemara about what we call tzad echad beribis, is ribis considered ribis ketzutza fixed if in fact it's not fixed? If it's not so clear that ribis will result. And what we're going to start with are the cases of tzad echad beribis, and three categories of tzad echad beribis, and then move on from there into some other circumstances. So first of all, tzad echad beribis literally means that there is one side of ribis. There is literally one side, one branch would be ribis. And what we mean by that, as a general rule, is that there are two possible paths that the participants in the loan could travel. I didn't print it out. I didn't know you were coming. There are two possible paths that the participants in the loan could take. In one, there will be ribis, and in one, there will not be ribis. That's the basic definition of tzad echad beribis. But I'm going to give three different classes of cases that fit within that. The first class is where the transfer of money from the lender to the borrower is actually not meant as a loan. It's meant as a purchase. A is buying something from B. However, it may turn out that the money is going to go back to A. It will turn out to have been a loan rather than a purchase. In which case, what that means is, if A thinks he's buying something, uses the item while his money is still in the hands of the seller, and then gets his money back, then he is receiving more than he gave. He's receiving his money back, and he's receiving use of the item in the interim. Clear? This is sort of class A of tzad echad beribis. You thought you were engaging in a sale, the sale got reversed, and because the sale got reversed, the person who spent the money to buy it ends up getting his money back and ends up getting use of the item during that interim period. So a few examples of, four examples of this actually. One is from a Mishnah in Ezehu Neshech. It's Perek Hey Mishnah Gimel. It's found on Samachemet Beis in the Masechta. I brought it here as source Aleph on your sheet. Machar Loes Hasadeh. He sold somebody a field. V'nasan lo miktzas damin. And the buyer paid for part of the field. And he said, whenever you want, bring the rest of the money and take it. Completion of the payment would result in retroactive purchase. Asur, it's prohibited. And what we mean by it's prohibited is it's prohibited to have the person who is it's prohibited to have the person who is going to get his money back in the end use the payros in the interim. Okay? That's one example. There's more to say on that Mishnah, but that's why I'm leaving that right now. Second example is source base. Machar lo bayis, machar lo sadeh, you sell somebody a house in full. You sell somebody a field in full. V'amar lo, but you say, l'chashayiyu limos hachzirem li. The seller says, I want to be able to buy this back in the future. I consider myself to be pawning this item. It's not really pawned. It's not a temporary thing in any sense. It's a sale. However, he says, when I get money, I want to be able to get it back, and that's what I'm stipulating here in the deal, usur. So it's prohibited because, again, that means that the buyer is going to use the field in the interim and then get his money back eventually. As opposed to, as the mission, as the case goes on to say, but I didn't bring it here, in the event that the buyer volunteers this, he says, hey, anytime you, you know, it's a beautiful house, anytime you want to, you know, reverse it, I understand, it's fine. We volunteers it, it's a different story. But that's your second case. So the only difference between the first and second case is in the first case is a down payment, in the second case he actually bought the thing entirely. Next two cases are not found in Bava Metzia, but they get quoted in our discussion by Tosfos. The first one is Megillah Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, which you may recognize as part of the discussion about selling a shul. So the Mishnah there in Source Gimel says, "Ein mochen beis hakneses ella al tanai she'im yirtzu yachziru hu divrei Rabbi Meir." Rabbi Meir says, "Community does not sell a shul without a condition that says that if they want, they can take it back." So says Rabbi Meir. V'chachom omer mochen nosa memkarolam. V'chachom disagree and they say, "No, you sell it forever." So the Gemara says, "Ula Rabbi Meir hechi dairi ba." I don't understand, Rabbi Meir. If they're able to reverse the sale, then how is it that the buyer is able to live there once it's already been sold? Ha-ha-vila ribbis, it'll end up being ribbis if the sale gets reversed and the community gives him his money back. Right? Just like we've been talking about. So the answer is, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir, b'shiz Rabbi Yehuda, Amar damar tzadach ad beribbis mutter. The answer is that Rabbi Meir is of the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who permits tzad echad beribbis. That's the explanation, as the Gemara then continues to say. I realize now that on the first two cases that I brought, I didn't flesh out the tzad echad beribis explanation. Why are these cases tzad echad beribis? It's tzad echad beribis because you have two possible branches that could emerge from this, right? You sell somebody the field, you sell somebody the house, it's entirely possible that it'll remain with him forever. And if it remains with him forever, there's no ribis involved, he used his own stuff. The other possibility is that you're going to come back to him and want to reverse it, in which case you'll end up with a ribis situation. So it's only one side, one branch of the tree that'll actually result in a ribis case.
What about the down payment? That's also if he keeps it.
Yeah. If he pays in full and keeps the thing, then no ribis. Yeah.
What about stipulating that it'll be rent? On the other hand, the guy should get it for free. Right. I mean,
what will be rent, though?
That the money for the time that you did stay there.
Yeah.
That should be considered rent, not
rent
not
by whom? He's the one who lived there. You mean, in other words, let's say you're talking about the shul case, right? Yeah. The fellow buys. I'm representing the shul. Adam is the buyer of the shul, right? So Adam gave me money for the shul. He lives there for a year. After a year, the shul says, you know, we really liked our old location.
Right.
We come back to Adam and say, Adam, here's your money back. We are going to claim our shul back. We're all back to zero, except that Adam has now lived rent-free for a year in our shul.
Well, what about stipulating?
That then he'll have to pay rent?
Right. Yeah,
that's all. Right, then you're fine. If Adam would have to pay for it.
And if I do take it back, whatever, then there will have to be a reasonable rent charge.
Yeah, then you're good. Then you've taken care of it.
When you have a deposit or a down payment, and even assuming in the case where the purchaser keeps the item, in the interim, the deposit is serving a function, right? So even if you don't get the item for a month, it's still, the money's being used for a purpose because it's keeping it for you, the item.
Okay.
So even though you don't have the use of the item, right? So
right.
It's not considered ribbis, then, I would think.
Just the fact that you gave the money?
Yeah, you don't have...
Who would
like paying for $100, and they give you the $100 now, is it, or $50 as a down payment, right?
But you bought or you sold?
Selling it to you.
You sold it to me for
$100.
For $100. I give you what?
$50 now.
Okay.
And you don't get delivery of the pen for another 2 weeks. But
okay.
It's, you know, it's a rare pen and it's yours now. So you're not getting the use of the pen for 2 weeks, and
correct.
You paid me money about the use of your down payment.
Who, are you using the pen now?
No, you are. No, hold it. No, nobody is, let's say.
If nobody's using it, then there's no issue. We buy things with down payments all the time.
I know, but I've got $50 worth of your money, and you don't have the item.
But you're not, but that's okay.
No, but the reality of how these things work, there is sometimes that the deposit is interest-bearing, that there is... It's not just sitting in someone's
account. But to whom is it
bearing? No. I'm saying sometimes it's just hold it and you can't invest it or anything. So it's just
the escrow.
Yeah, just to make sure that you close, okay? Mm-hmm. And if I have damages, okay, that make, I don't think that's ribus in any way.
Right. No, but, no,
but then there are the kinds where they say either the interest goes to the buyer or to the seller.
Right.
That's the, where.
So where the interest goes to the seller, right, where Jeffrey is getting the interest on the down payment I gave him, there's nothing wrong. That's fine.
No, but
Jeffrey's the borrower right now if I back out of the deal. Right? If I back out, no, I gave you money.
Yeah.
I'm not the borrower. I'm what
oh yeah, right.
It's the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the event that I get the interest, what we're really saying is because you're just holding the down payment, but it's really mine. The didn't go anywhere. The only time that would be changed would be if the sale was executed retroactive to the beginning. Then you have a different discussion. Last case within this class of Tzarecha Beribis is the case in Erchin in Source Dalit. Do you see this when you went through the sugya? Okay. So this is a big deal. You know the law of Batei Arichoma. Houses that are in walled cities. The rule is that if I own a house in a walled city, and I sell it to Yaron, I have 1 year in which I'm able to back out of the sale. I go to him, I give him back his money, and he assigns the house back to me. There's even a discussion in the Gemara about how people used to, as they got to the end of the year, go away on vacation so that the seller would not be able to find them and back out of the deal. And so they said, it doesn't matter, he can just throw it into the property and then claim the house back. So in Source Dalet, though, we raise a question. Why is that not Tzarecha Beribis? Right? I sell you the house, and one of two things is going to happen. Either I don't do anything through the year, in which case you get to keep the house, and it was a sale, and we're done. Or I'm going to come back to you and say, here's your money back. I get my house back. And at that point, he's lived there rent-free that whole time. That's Tzarecha Beribis. So Source Dalet, Mishnah says, Hamocher buys a Batei Arichoma. You sell such a house, you could redeem it from right now for another 12 months. The reason they have to say right now is because we talk about with a field, with a steachuza, that you have to sell, if you sell the steachuza, you have to give it to him for the first 2 years. You can't redeem it immediately. The guys get some use out of it. So that's why we say, no, it's miyad. Hareza kamin ribis ve'eno ribis. And the Mishnah says, well, this is sort of ribis, in the sense that he lived there, rent-free. So the Gemara says, Harezo kamin ribis veino ribis, v'atanya. But I have a brisa that says, Harezo ribis gemura, elesha tara yitirasa. What are you playing games for? It's full-blown ribis, just that the Torah said you're allowed to do it. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha, ha-Rabbi Yehuda ba-Rabbana. Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, it depends on how you hold on tzadachat ribis. The Rabbanan believe that that tzadachat ribis is just as usher as any other ribis. And for them, therefore, it's ribis gemura. Whereas the view of Rabbi Yehuda is that it's ribis veino ribis, because it's tzarecha ribis, which he is mekil for. Just how mekil, we'll have to see. But that's the idea.
So would any cases of money-back warranties, guarantees, be tzarecha ribis?
If there's a possibility of using it and then eventually getting your money back, then yeah, that argument could be made. That argument could be made. So that's all within one class of Tzarecha Beribis, where it was meant as a purchase, and then it turns out to have been a loan.
They were calling in the full case that all the cases, you know from the beginning that you have the optionality to come back.
Correct.
But if from the beginning it's a sale, but I don't know, after 2 years you come to the other guy and say, I want to sell it back.
Right. So that's viewed as a different transaction. Right? Where it's optional, where the buyer says, I'm willing to do this on his own. That's a brand new transaction, and then we don't call this Tzarecha Beribis.
No, but I think you're talking about opportunity costs or something.
Mm.
That I'm saying, because I have the right to back out or to do this or that, shouldn't that sort of vitiate the ribus aspect of it?
Why?
Because there's a value to that that isn't loan interest. It's a value that, since the person has options.
Right, but the value of the opportunity cost idea, and that's not what Yaron was saying. Yaron was asking a different question. Oh. But the opportunity cost is going to, you'd be hard pressed to say that that's equal to the value of living there rent free.
People buy warrants.
Yeah. But will they pay the amount of a year's rent?
Depends what it is.
That's very hard to imagine.
Because what if it goes up in value? Like, let's say...
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, that could be worth a fair bit. It depends what kind of market you're in, you know.
Okay.
So a Mekach would be different, because there was never
a transaction. Well, that doesn't help you. The fact that it turns out to be a Mekach isn't helpful in this circumstance, but it wasn't planned. That was what Yaron's point was.
It's like the warranty or guarantee that from initially you know there's that possibility that it's inside Echad here, it ends up in hindsight being a Mekach Taos and things are refunded, but right. So
this is all class one. Then there's class two of Tzad Echad Beribis. In class two, the transfer of money is meant as a loan, but it might turn out that it actually involves a sale. Okay? It was meant all along as a loan, but it might turn out to involve a sale. Take a look at A. This is from Samach Gimel Amad Aleph, where the Gemara first gets into the discussion of Tzad Echad Beribis. Hareshaya Nosha Bachavera Mana, Va'asa Lo Sadehu Mecher. Okay, so you have, again, two parties. Let's call them Reuven and Shimon. Reuven owes Shimon money, and he says to Shimon, if I default, if I'm not able to pay you the debt, then I will sell you my field, the purchase money being the payment of the debt. Okay? So Jeffrey lent me money, and the deal is that I say to Jeffrey, I'm having a hard time paying you back. If I can't pay you back, take my field as a purchase, and the money you're supposed to pay me for the field is actually the money you already lent me. So I'll end up keeping the money. It's not that there's a lien on the field. There was no lien on the field. There's actually he's buying the field. Clear? So he's buying the field by forgiving the debt.
But he's not paying extra for it?
No. Bismanj, we'll get to a case like that, but not yet. Bismansha mocher ochel peros mutter. So if I, the borrower, am getting to eat from the produce all along, right now, that's all well and good, because it's my field. Lokeach ochel peros, but if Jeffrey gets to eat the produce until this actually becomes a sale, that's usur, says the Tanakhama, because he's getting ribbis. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda omer, bismansha lokeach ochel peros mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even if the buyer is getting to eat the produce, it's mutter because it's tzad echad beribis. Because there are two possible eventualities, right? Either it ends up being my field, you know, all along, in which case you have a ribis problem, because that means that Jeffrey ate from my field all along, and that while he was still, lending me money. Or, alternatively, it's not going to end up being ribis, because what will actually happen is that he ends up buying the field, and the key here is that he's buying the field retroactively. So, if he buys the field only at the end, then you do have a problem, then you have ribis. But if he buys the field retroactively, then we're good. So the difference between this and the previous class is that the money was originally given as a loan, and it might turn out to involve a sale. You'll see why this matters, but we're not there yet. The other case that you know of with this is Samachayim Beis, source of, and this goes back to Jerry's point. Mishkein lo bayis. Let's say he has a lien on my house. Mishkein lo sade, he has a lien on my field. Va'omar lo, and he says lechashet tirtze lemochram. Whenever you, he says to Torchiner, whenever you want to sell this house, whenever you want to sell the field, lo timkarim eloli bedamim halalu. He says, I want you to sell it to me, and at the following price, which as I added in brackets, is a discount price. Okay, so he says, I want to get a good deal. You may never sell this field. You may never sell the house, but you know what? I held it as a collateral during the period of the loan. I got to like the property. So what I want is that you sell it to me at a discount if you ever sell it. Usher, can't do that. Well, not so fast. It's not a with this. Maybe I'm never going to sell it. If I sell it, then he'll end up getting a deal, which, added to the money you lent me, turns out to be Rivas.
This is during the course of the loan?
No. 10 years from now. But it's a stipulation in the loan. Correct. That's what makes it a problem. The Bishop, Yehen Mutter, but if he says, I'm not asking you to give me any discount, I just want to be the one who's going to be able to purchase it, that's a fair arrangement. That's Mutter. Yeah, but yes, I should have been very careful to say this is a stipulation of the arrangement, because otherwise it's just a ribis milcheres, you know, concoction. Okay, so that's your second class. The transfer of money came as a loan, but it might turn out to involve a sale with ribis. Yeah.
In case number 5, when the Yehuda said that it's allowed to do it, it means I can eat from the fruits.
Yeah.
But after I buy it, I need to pay.
Nope. Zelonikra Ribit, Kivan Shet Tzadechad.
I understand, because it's Tzadechad. But after...
It's fine.
I buy it, it's Ribit. It's, everybody going to say that it's Ribit.
Nope.
From the beginning, said, you have an option, maybe yes, maybe no.
No, because his argument will be, it was not... Sir, at worst, it's Avak Ribit. Because it's Ribit.
Okay.
But if it's Avak Ribit, and I already ate it... So that's it. And then you're going to say, right.
This last example, why exactly is this the sale itself, the deal itself, the mashkon, it could turn out that the person will default on the loan and will keep the land anyway.
Right.
Or it could turn out that he'll pay him back and he'll get it back. If there's a sale later, that's not a sale which is an extension of the loan. Because all the other cases are cases where this transaction might be a loan, might be a sale.
But it does. It has a tag on it from the loan.
I mean, I would just call that straight ribis, if it's anything, right? You would just say, here's the mashkon, I'm lending you money, here's the mashkon. In addition, I'm also doing this tova for you that I promised.
Right, so I'll jump a little bit into why we view tzadechad beribis as different from ribis, and I think that will answer your question. The logical reason why tzadechad beribis should be more lenient is because you're lacking something in your ketzitza. Right? Ribis Kitzutza means you established already at the time of the loan, this is what I said in the first minute of this year, you established at the time of the loan that such and such a sum is going to have to be paid over and above the refunding of the money. But here it wasn't established. If I never decide to sell my field, right, I live out my entire life there, then he gets nothing out of the deal. So it's not really Kitzutza. Ribis Kitzutza means he knows this is what he's getting in the end, and now he doesn't know anything. That's the unless you were to argue, and I could see Jerry making this argument, that the fact that he has the ability to buy it later, in the event that it will be sold, is a valuable right in and of itself. It could be traded on the market and so on. And I've seen the argument made, but honestly, I don't understand the answers to the argument. Meaning, I've read a couple of articles in which they tried to make the argument, hey, wait a minute, doesn't the right to purchase later have, it's an option. It has an element of value. So for some reason, this isn't the problem. But honestly, I have a very hard time understanding why. But that's the second class. And then the third class is just very tiny, but you can't skip it because it's the core of the Gemara. And you already saw it last week in the discussion of HaRamas Rivis. And that's the case where the transfer of money is a loan, and it could involve the appearance of Rivis, potentially. Not actual Rivis, but the appearance of Rivis. That's the buying Peros on Amana discussion, right? I assume that was part of the discussion last week. You buy produce in advance, fixing the price now. I take a look at Source Zion, that's the case. You can start to see why this was such a nightmare for me to develop this year, because they're juggling cases and trying to figure out what's what. And we haven't gone anywhere yet. Harishai Anosha Bachavero Mana, Vahalach Va'amar Al Gorno. Okay, you owe somebody money. Or the other way around, really. You have a claim against somebody, and you go stand by his grain. And you say to him, pay back the debt, because I want to buy wheat. Not, you know, I don't want to buy your wheat. I just, in general, I mean, I'm saying, you know, time has come, pay the debt. The Amarlo guy says...
The term is up.
Term is up, correct.
Say that here.
No, but the term is up.
Yeah.
Correct. The Amarlo, and that's the definition of noshe, but... The Amarlo, chitin yesh li shani no se lach. The guy says, listen, I've got wheat here. I want to use the wheat to pay you. Seva asana lai kishar shalachshav. What I would like you to do is go based on the going rate right now. The wheat is not ready yet. But we'll work with the going rate. And so tell me what's, you know, let's say it's a $1,000 loan. What's $1,000 worth of wheat? That's what we'll establish that I'll have to deliver to you at the end of the season. Higiyaz man chitin limkor. Time comes, the end of the season. Now he's ready to sell wheat. Amarlo, tein li chitin shani rotze lemochran. And again, the lender says, give me my wheat. I would like now to sell them off. And said, I'll be able to get wine. Amarlo, Yeshli Yayin, Shani no Selah. He said, listen, I'm going to give you wine instead. Let's evaluate it based on what the wheat and the wine are worth right now. And the idea is things keep appreciating because you know the way prices work. Early in the season, when the product is not in hand, the price is lower. So therefore, I am upgrading my loan through the course of this transaction. Originally, I lent him $1,000. Now I have wheat that's now worth $1,100. Now I'm going to upgrade for wine that's going to be worth, in the end, $1,200. I say to him, no, give me the wine. I want to be able to buy oil with it. So, again, let's do another trade. For the oil that I'll give you, let's go make it based on the current value. Kulam, in all those cases, im yeshlo mutter, if he actually has the wheat, the oil, the wine, wheat, wine, and oil, then it's allowed. And the reason is because I actually bought the physical item, and if it goes up in value, that's not ribis, it's my property. Im eilo, but if he doesn't have it, then also, then it's prohibited. So the Gemara on this, Shmuel Amar Hamani, Shmuel says, whose view is this, that this is okay to do? Rabbi Yehuda Yida Amar Tzarecha Beribis Mutter. Rabbi Yehuda's view, because Rabbi Yehuda says, Tzad Echad Beribis is actually okay. Why is this Tzad Echad Beribis? Because if it appreciates, right, if it goes up in value, then what you are getting has this ribis element of it. It's really haramas ribis. There's no real ribis going on. It's haramas ribis because it's a trick. It's a way to end up paying the guy more without it being stipulated or without it, you know, without everybody realizing what's going on. You'll say, what do you mean? There was no ribis. This was just an honest transaction all along. But in the end, the lender's getting more money than he laid out. Yeah.
I know there's a concept of agra natar. Okay.
That's the definition of ribis.
Oh, that's the type where you're waiting, where you're getting paid for the time element.
Yeah.
Because, so that,
that's exactly what ribis is. That's why, the only reason why this isn't full-blown ribis, well, there are two reasons why it's not full-blown ribis. Number one, it's not full-blown ribis because it's not part of the arrangement. I came to him, I said, give me $1,000. I didn't say give me anything extra.
But it ends up.
It turns out that way. It's a trick. It's a scam. It's a way that he can end up giving me ribis, but I can raise my hands and say, "What did I didn't do anything." But that's number one. But number two reason why it's not ribis is because there's no guarantee it's going up in value. There's no guarantee that he's even going to give me. Not even. I'm sorry. No guarantee it's going to go up in value. Sorry, that was a mistake. There was no guarantee that he was going to give me wine, wheat, oil, all of these items. He could have just easily handed me cash.
Yeah, but also, if I bought the wheat and the price is up, it's the same.
No.
If this is the reason that the Gemara said, if you have it,
yeah,
it's okay. Why? Because it's safe. I took it to my house, put it in the store, and waiting 2 months, and then going to sell it.
Right. You have to go back into the back and forth in the Gemara, which I skipped here because I didn't want to.
And finally, explanation one or two, really, the key to both of them are, it's really not katsutsa, because you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct.
Is that only Rabbi Yehuda?
So that's what I'm about to explain.
Let me
go through the Gemara now with you, because I'm going to go through it anyway. Just I didn't bring it on the sheet because I didn't want to go through all the cutting and pasting and back and forth with it. But the Gemara in Samach Yom Levad Aleph goes this way. Rav Oshia said that if a borrower wants to repay the loan with the present commodity at its current price, our case right here that we just saw, then there's no problem if it happens to go up before the lender ends up collecting the item. Rava brings support for, excuse me, Rava deduces from here support for the for a statement of Rabbi Yanai that you're allowed to engage in amana, buying something in advance where ultimately you're going to receive the payros. And Shmuel says that the reason why Rav Oshia is fine with receiving the payros here is because it's tzad echad beribis. And he agrees that tzad echad beribis is fine. In other words, even if there are no payros in hand, he's going to be okay with it. Because it's tzad echad beribis. The Gemara then asks, how do we know that Rav Yehuda is okay with tzad echad beribis? And it brings the case of the where you say you can, if I default on the loan, you can buy my field, which was another of the tzad echad beribis cases that that we discussed. So Abaye says that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are debating tzad echad beribis. That's what their machlokas is. Rava disagrees entirely and says, no, that's not what this is. This is a debate about ribis amanas lahachzir. It's a debate about ribis which is going to be returned. Meaning, it's actually what Jerry was talking about before. Let's say we had this case in which, and this, I guess Adam was probably, when Jerry asked it, you might have been like waiting to jump on this. The seller in this discussion, right? Let's take it with the borrower and the lender. Jeffrey lent me money. He gets to use my field. The deal is that in the event that I default, I'm going to sell him my field. So if I default and he gets the field, you know, retroactive to the beginning, so then everything is good. If I pay him back, then his use of the field is ribis. Right? That's one of our tzad echad beribis cases. However, Jerry asked, what if the terms are that in the event that I pay back the loan, he's going to pay me for the produce that he ate, or having lived in the house, or whatever it is. That's the ribis amanas lahachzir discussion. That's what Rava says is going on here. It's going to be repaid, and the question is ribis amanas lahachzir. So Rava disagrees with Abaye's read in general. But that's your basic set of cases of tzad echad beribis. These three classes. The last class I really didn't even want to bring, except that you can't not, because that's the core sugya on Samach Gimel Lamed Aleph. But all these other cases are the main ones that get discussed. So I have two questions to address here about tzad echad beribis. The first question is, so why is Rabbi Yehuda lenient for tzad echad beribis? So Rashi actually says something that gets him into trouble. Rashi, I brought it for you in source Ches, Rabbi Yehudi, the Amar tzad echad beribis mutter, ribis she'ena al yedei halva, ela al yedei mecher. He defines tzad echad beribis not the way we've defined it so far, simply that there are two possible results, one of which involves ribis, one of which does not. Rashi says that's not sufficient. It's that the ribis, when it comes out, comes about via a sale. It's not Rashi alone who says this. Tosfos in Megillah of Zayin Amud Beis, Rabbi Yehuda says it. Tosfos in Erchin, Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, says it as well. The Ritva also, Shmuel, says it. What's his logic? So Nesiva Shalom explains what Rashi's logic is. I brought it for you in Tess. Nesiva Shalom says, Mishum Shebederech Mecher, Ein Kan Chashash Ribis Del Reis Aklal, Rak Ribis Del Rabbanan. Because since my transaction is a sale rather than a loan, remember that we said in my introductory shiur way back when, ribis that occurs via a sale is automatically only rabbinic. Biblical ribis, by definition, is only in the case of a loan. So in a case where I buy an item from Jeffrey, Jeffrey sells air conditioners. I buy an air conditioner off of Jeffrey, and I say to him, I'm going to pay you later. And Jeffrey says, that's great. However, if you pay now, it's $1,000. If you pay in a month from now, it's $2,000. And I say, you know what? I'm hot and sweaty. I'm going to do it. Right? In such a case, that's ribbis, but it's only ribbis derabanan. Because it's not a loan. We're not zokef alav b'milva. You didn't turn it into a loan. It was a sale. And it was just the late payment of the sale triggered a... Now, whether that's a penalty, like a fine, or whether it's over time, that's a whole other discussion. I'm not going into that discussion right now. That's a separate issue. But the point is, and Nesiva Shalom says, that's what Rashi's thinking here. Rashi's thinking here is that since you're in a sale situation, it's already ribbis derabanan, plus it's uncertain, right? You don't know that it's going to end up this way. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda will say, mutter entirely. Got it? That's the way that that Rashi is read by the Nesiva Shalom. However, there are problems with this idea. The first problem with this idea is the classic case of Tzad Echad Beribis, right? I gave you, that's why I broke these down into classes, because I thought that would help make it more clear, is that the Ribis is in the case where there is no sale. Right? Our whole set of opening cases, our class one set of cases, right, is specifically where there is no sale. If there's a sale, then there's no ribbis problem at all. Right? Take, for example, the community sells the shul. Yeah?
Rashi would say, it started as a sale. That was a sale, and then it turned out to be not a sale later.
Yeah, all these cases right. Use the word
mashdo. There are some of them where it's a mashdo.
I should have said it the other way. I'm sorry, I should have said it the other way. It works well for the Batei Arecho Make. It works well for class one. It does not work well for class two. That's what I should have said. In the class two cases, right? I borrow money with an agreement that I'll sell my field retroactively to the lender to pay the debt if I need to. So in the event that I never actually sell it to him, he got the payros and he got paid back. Where was the sale? That's a ribbis case, and there is no sale at all involved. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is brought in Tosfos. Tosfos challenges the idea that it's about a sale because not all of our cases involve sales. Tosfos asks this question on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Yumaslat Tzad. I didn't bring this Tosfos, so I brought another one that answers the question. But Tosfos asks the question there, and he rejects Rashi for this reason. He says, in the case of my field, and I say, let's say, when you sell it to me, when I sell it, I'll sell it at a discount to you, right? Even though it's a loan, right? And yet you're going to apply Tzad Echad Beribis. So Tosfos dumps it. However, Tosfos Megillah saves it. If you take a look at Yud, he asks the question, Maishnami Mishkin Lo Bais Mishkin Lo Sadeh Da Amar Hasam Da Filu Amar Le L'Chashatir Tzalamoch Alam Simkrim El Ali B'damam Alalu, right, where the lender slash buyer, depending on what he's going to be, initiates and says, when you sell it to me for this sum of money, V'achal Peros, and he eats the produce, that's Aser. V'am Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Delok Rav Yehuda, and Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua said, no, Aser must not be like Rabbi Yehuda. Di Rabbi Yehuda Amar Tzedecha Beribis Mutter. Rabbi Yehuda would be okay with it. So Tosfos says, I don't understand Rashi. That's not a case of sale. The Yesh Lomar, so his answer is, Diakati Lo Dami Klal Lahava Sa'a Bisa'a. It's still not like your standard loan case. He gives you the case of lending produce for produce, which actually is a big problem we have to come back to. But just fill in the blank with standard loan right now. Don't ignore the fact that he mentioned Sa'a B'Sa'a. We're not ready for that yet. Dahasam Leka Tzad Mecher Klav. Because this is in a normal loan, there is no element of sale. Your standard biblical ribbis case, Jeffrey lent me $1,000, I gave him back $2,000. No one mentioned any sales. Avahacha, but here, Vagabe Mishkin, as well as the case of a collateral, Ika Tzad Echad Mecher. There is an element of Mecher. So he says, even though the money doesn't come to hand via Mecher, nonetheless, there's a Mecher involved. I still don't like that answer. Because fundamentally, there was a loan first. The only way you're going to get around this, and the Nesiva Shalom points this out, is if you take the view of the Raivid, which I just excerpted the tiny words in Yud Aleph, Umistabra b'da'amar le'me'achshav. then what we're talking about is where the sale would be retroactive to the beginning. So there's already a sale element from the start when the money changes hands. So maybe that can answer that case. Yeah.
Know the lights on, right?
Yep.
That's pretty basic, right?
Yes.
So whenever I get a loan from you, I have the possibility of making a lot of money with that, right?
Yep.
So because I didn't, that's not your fault.
Correct.
I'm questioning this whole. If you say middle of the
line, that's not a ribbis litzarecha question. That's a ribbis question.
Yeah, period. Yeah, just
and the answer is because that's exactly the Torah's institution of ribbis. That's the cornerstone. Meaning, even though the borrower is gaining on the deal, he's not allowed to say to the lender, "I am grateful, and therefore I want to give you something in exchange for my benefit." And even if his personal benefit is greater potentially than what he's giving, doesn't make a difference. This is what tzedakah is about. That's the idea. That goes all the way back. If you go back to Rabbi Ziering's initial shiurim in this, where he talked about whether we view loans as tzedakah and the ribbis as a violation of that tzedakah, that's what we're talking about. It's not. My answer to you is I don't view ribbis as gezel. It's not. The borrower, you know, does very well potentially on the deal. And it's not, as you said, it's not the lender's fault if he doesn't.
Right.
Nonetheless, that's not the way you're supposed to lend. That's the idea.
But in the bottom line, there's a need, which is why we say there's no mechila.
Right.
You need to get the money.
Correct.
Even if it's to make profit.
Correct. This is a fundamental question with Rashi, is Mecher is not always so clear-cut in the cases that we're talking about. As a matter of fact, we're going to see this funny, very interesting tshuva in the Rashba. The Rashba gets involved in a whole estate case, which I'm making a lot simpler by saying it outside. But the Rashba is going to deal with a case in which a man lends money, and one of the terms of the loan agreement is that the borrower is going to pay any taxes the king chooses to levy on the loaned money. This is an environment in which the king decides every year what he's going to tax and what he's not going to tax and how much he's going to tax. It's not like you have a clear code that everybody, you know, has a certain default year to year of what's going to get taxed and how, and it's just what's the government going to change from year
to
year.
That's a pure wealth tax.
Yes, correct.
Dollars, yes.
Simple and straightforward. So the Rashba deals with the case and asks, so what's the status of this loan? You lend somebody money, and the term is that the borrower is going to pay the taxes on that money. Is that ribbis? And the Rashba's answer is that it's only avak ribbis. It's not biblical ribbis, because the king might decide not to tax at all. And therefore, it's tzarechet ribbis. So the question is, but Rashba, there's no sale here at all. It's pure loan. There was no sale element at all. So the answer may be you disagree with Rashi. But that's the Rashba very clearly is applying tzarechet ribbis in a concrete way to a case where there's no sale whatsoever. So that's Rashi's idea. Now, yeah.
No, there was some case that we discussed yesterday about the community that wanted to take a loan for a guy that said, "Give us a loan, and we are going to
forgive you for the guests, the Chasim Sofer."
Yeah.
Yes, we'll get to the Chasim Sofer. That's Chasim Sofer Kuf Lamed Hey, correct. The Archi Uparchi. So just briefly mention the Sa'a B'Sa'a discussion, because you can't not. The argument comes up, and we're going to come back to it in a bit, that Ribbis Mitzarechad could come up in another way. We've been talking about Ribbis Mitzarechad in the sense that you made an arrangement which could result in Ribbis and could not result in Ribbis. But let's look at it in an entirely different possibility. I lend you money, and the terms of it are, or not even money, produce. I lend you 100 measures of wheat, right? And at the end of the term, whatever it is that you want to use the wheat for, security for something, whatever it is, it's not lahotzah. Right? At the end of the, well, it is lahotzah. It has to be available lahotzah, or it's not available.
Right.
Fine. But at the end of the term, you're going to give me back the 100 measures of wheat.
Not even necessarily if, the same 100 measures.
Right, you're going to give me back 100 measures of wheat, right? Which may have gone up in value. That's what we call sa'a b'sa'a, right? And we say that it's a problem, it's a ribbis problem. Why is that a ribbis problem? Why isn't that side out of a ribbis? Maybe it'll go up in value. Maybe it won't go up in value.
There's no other aspect to it. There's no sale. There's no.
And the answer, in fact, is, so the Rashi will tell you, the reason why we are not lenient with sa'ah b'sa'ah under tzad el ha-baribis is because it's a loan.
Isn't that the same as it's the last case, from the last case you mentioned?
You talk about the where it goes up in value each time. Well, there.
You're going to pay back in money. You're going to pay back in.
Well, that case is better than Saab the Saab, because there was no stipulation in the first place of paying me back with wheat. It was supposed to be a cash deal, and I just changed the borrower changes the terms.
Right.
So there, that's an easier case of Tzadech HaBaribis. In other words, the deal was, I'm lending you $1,000, you pay me back $1,000. You chose to then give me $1,000 worth of wheat. But then again, you sold it to me right now. You sold me $1,000 of wheat right now. I just didn't take delivery yet.
But that's the whole point. And that point in the discussion, that's the question of the Gemara. Is he's munachlo kiren zavi?
Right.
He's not. I mean, he has lokiren zavi. If
right.
He's not, that's why he mentioned Ravita in the first place.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. But then it's still a function of the original loan. For which the terms were still cash. It's not a new loan. We don't look at it as originating a new loan, do we? If we do, then I understand your question. Yeah. That's the difference.
Whenever you loan in kind,
You're running into this problem. This is I mean, that's next week's share. So, Tosfos, I'm going to go a little bit further just because Tosfos on Samach Yimel offers me a different approach. After asking this question of Tosfos does that not all your cases involve mecher. So Tosfos on Samach Yimel Amud Aleph, as well as on Samach Tes Amud Aleph, says that's not what's going on. Take a look at your base. He says, "V'im Tomar." You might ask, "Im Kain Saba Sa'ah Nami Yemuter Lovos Rabbi Yehuda the Tzad Echad Hu Deshem Alo Yokiru." Right? He asks also the Tzad. I keep trying to duck Saab the Sa'ah as I mention it, but then bring it in at the end rather than start from there. "V'yesh Lomar De Lo Chashiv Tzad Echad Beribis El Adavar She Yesh Biyad Malve O Biyad Love Lasos Tzad Echad Shelo Yehi Ribis." He says, "You want to know why Tzad Echad Beribis is lenient? Because one of the parties in this loan has the ability to make sure that there will be no ribis." Right? Jeffrey says to me, I'm lending you this money, and when you sell off the field, sell it to me at a discount. I can prevent it from ever turning into ribis by not selling the field. You follow? So too for all of the cases that we described, right? Batei Arechoma, right? The house in the walled city. If I never come back to him to reverse the sale, then there will be no ribis. It is within our control to make sure there will be no ribis in this situation.
Only but it's one-sided.
Either side can prevent it.
Yeah, but if one does exercise,
then yes, it will result in ribis. But that's the point. The point is that it's not called kitsutza.
Right.
It's not a set thing. You don't know whether it'll be. You can prevent it from happening. He says, "Vish Lomar."
One person, not both sides.
Correct. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Hang on. "Vish Lomar de lo chashiv tzad echad beribis el davar sheyesh biad malva o biad lova lasos tzad echad shelo yehi ribis." And therefore, lo dami l'sa'ah b'sa'ah. It's not like sa'ah b'sa'ah. Right? Whether the wheat's going to go up in value or not is not in our control. Shetolei b'shar. That's just fluctuation of prices. It's going to be ribis if it goes up in value. So the Nesivos Shalom explains the logic and addresses Jerry's question about, but only one of them can prevent it, not both of them. Right? So the Nesivos Shalom and Yud Gimel says, "V'nira, disvaras hatosfos hi." The reason for the leniency is because it's not ketzitza. Even after they say this is what our deal is, It's up to him to set whether there will or will not be ribbis. We don't call that katsitsa. And then he says, in the bracketed part, since fundamentally the prohibition against ribbis only can happen by agreement of lender and borrower, since it's not going to be ribbis unless both of them agree to it, the fact that even one of them can prevent it is sufficient. That's the idea.
That makes it better. The fact that one has control is better than
pretty technical
market fluctuation.
Yeah.
So at the end, they're both a possibility.
Yeah.
So.
But a market fluctuation, it is entirely out of your control to generate it
Sorry? I mean, why should that make such a big distinction? Ultimately, it's a possibility, and that's what we should be concerned about, is the possibility, not whether it can be prevented or not. That's the distinction you're making, is that fact that it could be prevented, but it's still a possibility.
Right, and I think, no, but I think you're right. I think that's Rashi's view.
Yeah,
I think that's Rashi's view. That's why Rashi doesn't give you Tosfos' answer.
The king's taxes is also out of your control.
That's correct. The king's taxes are also out of your control.
So that...
I mean, that's fundamentally true. Okay, unless you're the king doing this loan. So here, we have Tosos's view. So my question was, why is Rebuta lenient? Rashi says it's because it's a sale and ribbis may not happen. Tosos says because one of the participants has the ability to prevent it from happening. But I have another question to ask. In our opening class of cases, the deal is planned as a sale, and only later might there be ribbis. So here's a question. Why isn't this the same as ribbis milcheres? Right? We define ribbis milcheres, which is asur, for the record. Right? Ribbis milcheres is, Jeffrey lends me, or let's say Jerry this time. Let Jerry get it on the fun. Right? So, Jerry lends me $1,000. Without any ribbis terms. He says, I'm lending you $1,000, a year from now you pay me back $1,000. We say, great. At some later date, I decide, you know what, I'm grateful to him, he gave me $1,000, I've turned it into $1,000,000. So, I'm going to give him a present. That's called ribbis milcheres. Why is that any different from the case in which the transaction is planned as a sale, and then later on, he ends up getting ribbis that wasn't stipulated in the first place? No, it's later. It's later.
It's not necessarily later.
No, but it can be.
When is it necessarily later?
Ribbis milcheres. Ribbis milcheres does not require that the ribbis milcheres be paid after the loan is paid up, just not at the time that the loan is paid up.
Oh yes, you can do it halfway too because you're
But it happens during. But what's going to happen now? It's actually the ribbis is being paid during the loan.
Right, and that's okay as long as it's not at the time of payment of the loan. It will qualify as ribbis milcheres. I think we talked about this in my last
year. It's during the course of the loan.
I believe we had said. I'd have to go back through my notes now. Maybe I'll do it before the next year. But
it wouldn't be ribbis. I think so. Since it might be about ribbis. Definitely not Rebbe.
Well, that's true. But the question is fundamentally, why is Rebbe Yehuda going to say it's mutter? So very quickly, because we have 7 minutes left here, there are three answers. The Gedulei Truma's answer is that Rebbe Yehuda is only lenient if the ribbis status is undetermined at the time that you actually eat the peros. In other words, let's take the case of the house again. So I sold Yaron the house. He's living in there. It's not ribbis at that time. Right? He doesn't know anything is going to happen at that time. Only at the end of the year does he find out actually it's being reversed. So that's the Gedulei Truma's answer. It's in Memvav Dalid Chav Gimel, but it's a very long sif, and so I didn't bring the piece here. The Nesiv HaShalom does not like that. The Nesiv HaShalom in Kufayim Beis, Dalid Yud Dalid, notes that that's not true for all of our cases. Right? We had the case of when you sell this, sell it to me at a discount. Right? In which case, the benefit is defined as ribis at the time that it is received. It's when he sells it to me at a discount. And that's when it's already ribis. So the Gedulei Truma's argument isn't going to work for that case, unless maybe you make it a me'ashav sale. When you sell your field eventually, sell it to me at a discount, retroactive to the beginning. And the Nesiva Shalom thought that was a very strange idea. And Tosfos also. So Nesiva Shalom offers me another answer, which I brought you here in Yedalad. V'ulaye Shlomar. Dechol ha-de-gazru be-ribis mi'ucheres hainu shema yavo lidei ribis kitsutza. This is like the Chazi Shir discussion. He says, why is it that we don't like ribis mi'ucheres? Because it might lead to ribis kitsutza. Right? If you're going to allow him to decide later on, I want to give a gift. What's going to stop him from also stipulating, I'm giving you a gift? Ach ba'ofen sha'asu kitsitza ela shaisa kitsitza ha-misupekes. However, in our case, what we have is, it's a fundamental condition. What we're dealing with here is a condition that is made from the beginning, but it can never turn into ribis kitsutza. It's a condition which may and may not lead. It's a suffix ribis kitsutza, effectively, that could never lead you to make a vada ribis kitsutza. That's his argument. The third approach, which Nesiva Shalom thinks is the same as his, but I'm actually not so sure, is the Sharadeya. And the Sharadeya in Tesvav says, Umashma b'shan staf samach gimel amad alef demutar afmi derabanan v'lo aviyav ribis milcheres. Why? Kevan dehisna imo mitchila ubitchila beheter hayahatnai. Lo avi ribis klal. He says, ribis milcheres is not the same as this case. In ribis milcheres, you made no condition whatsoever. You just decided later on you wanted to give a gift. Here you made a permitted condition from the beginning. So he says it's not the same thing as ribis mi'ucheres. Ribis mi'ucheres, there was no condition. You just gave him a gift. In our case here, you made a permitted condition right at the beginning. I don't think that's the same thing as what the Nesiva Shalom is saying. I think Nesiva Shalom's point is that the reason why ribis mi'ucheres would be okay according to Rabbi Yehuda is because it's a suffix ribis kitsutza that can never lead to a vada ribis kitsutza. I don't know. Every time I think about this, I get a headache.
No, but let's think of the heter. That's sort of like
another technical reason.
That's circular reasoning.
Yeah.
You're only saying it's mitchila beheter because that's the way Rabbi Yehuda holds. But this is the reason.
Right, but it's circular. Because the question we're asking is why don't the Rabbanan make a gezerah to say this is ribis mi'ucheres? Why doesn't the gezerah ribis mi'ucheres apply?
Mi'ucheres. Yeah. Okay, but still doesn't. It's not a reason for Rabbi Yehuda.
It's not a reason for Rabbi Yehuda not to host it. It's a reason for Rabbi Yehuda to wake up and say, wait a minute, it's ribis mi'ucheres.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the idea. So what we still have to get to is the following. We paskin like the Rabbanan on Tzedechad Beribis, that it's Asur. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But the question is it Asur as Ribis Kitsutza? Like, do the Rabbanan say this is Asur outright, even though we've said it's weak? Or is it only Asur as Avak Ribis? Obvious ramification, you based it require reversal. So that's one question I want to deal with. And then the other question is, what about where, this is the Sa'a question that I kept trying to push off, what about where ribis might not happen for other reasons? Not because of the terms of your agreement, but because, like the Sa'a case, the thing might go up in value, might not go up in value, or other cases that we're going to deal with. So those are the two things I want to finish up with next week, and then also start on Sa'a B'Sa'a as its own topic.
His first time.